We are continuing our study in Romans today. We will not be able to be in Romans much more for a while. Coming up to the month of October, we will be considering forgotten principles of the Reformation this year. And we have the conference speaker preaching next Lord's Day. We are in Romans chapter 10, and then we'll be having our reenactment service over at Point Mallard the first Sunday in September. So time in our study in the book of Romans for this year, the rest of the year is very limited. So we're going to read from Romans chapter 10, very familiar verses today, beginning in that 13th verse, which is so well known, has been such a means of blessing to so many. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Amen. We end our reading there at verse 17. And it is our prayer that God the Holy Spirit will take his word and speak to our hearts today, that the same Holy Spirit would quicken the preacher and quicken all of our hearing, that we would hear to our soul's good for Jesus' sake. Mary O'Brien, the Countess of Orkney, was born in the year 1721. She was a beautiful child and became a beautiful woman, but she was deaf and she was mute. So she wasn't married until 1753. She had reached the age 32. She married a cousin who was also of the Scottish nobility. Their first and only surviving child was born in 1855 and named Mary after her mother. But early in the little infant's life, the nurse was one day sitting beside the baby's crib as little Mary was sleeping. And to the nurse's astonishment and horror, she saw the countess approaching the baby with a very large stone. Knowing that deaf mutes sometimes did terrible things, the nurse feared the worst. And before she could get up and stop her, the countess had raised the stone and flung it down vehemently. Thankfully, the stone only hit the floor, making a loud noise. The child wakened immediately and cried out. With that, the countess fell on her knees in prayer, giving thanks to God that her child had not inherited her own deaf and mute condition. The countess had carefully planned her action to see if her child could hear and could cry. And what a delight it was for her when the child awakened and she saw the little mouth moving in terror. Now, Paul was very concerned about the hearing of the people, especially of his own nation, the Jews. And so he quoted a part of what we read today and we were singing from Isaiah 53. And in the first verse, he quotes the prophet Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, in verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Literally, who hath believed of us that to the hearing? Now, our report that we gave them was something to hear, the prophet was saying. Who hath believed our report? Now, our text this morning comes from verses 16 and 17, followed by the words, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And there are three main points that I would want to call your attention to today. First of all, the rejection of preaching. They have not all obeyed. Secondly, the reception of preaching. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then thirdly, the results of preaching. They are very observable results. So first of all, rejection of preaching. They have not all obeyed the gospel, the apostle says here in verse 16. Now, Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? The necessity of preaching is what the apostle had been going over in the earlier verses in this chapter. In verses 14 and 15, he said, how shall they hear without a preacher? And then, how shall they preach unless, it's very obvious, unless they are called by the Lord and unless they're properly sent by the church to preach? It is, as the old Southern Presbyterian William Plumer wrote 150 years ago, he said, preachers are often discouraged by the lack of conversions through their preaching. This has long been the preacher's experience in almost every country. Isaiah faced the same trial. He said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Whether sinners will hear or not hear, the preacher must continue to bear witness to the truth. Plumer continued. He said, how sad it is when the truth seems only to harden sinners in preparation for coming judgment. Paul and Isaiah were both saddened by the fact that so many Hebrews did not respond to preaching. They did not seek the Lord. They did not come in faith and repentance to the Lord. They were grieving, they were lamenting, but they were not shattered. They were not destroyed by the fact that sinners rejected the preaching of the gospel. Paul was constantly quoting the Old Testament to show that the Hebrew people had been rejecting the one true God for literally hundreds and hundreds of years. It's quite obvious historically that the majority of people living especially to adulthood have always rejected the only living and true God. So the rejection of the gospel is a reality. He says there in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Well, thank God there's more here than the rejection of the gospel. There is secondly the reception of preaching. Not only the rejection of preaching, but also the reception of preaching. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we studied the Puritans this morning, it was interesting. I couldn't help but think as they were recounting in that book how certain things had happened to them at certain places in their lives, in their spiritual experience. One man was sitting at his desk when the Lord saved his soul. And I remember, I'll never forget, being seated on this side of the congregation about halfway back on a Sunday morning when the Lord brought light into my soul while we were still students, Brother Bob, long, long ago. Now, thank God, faith does come to many by the preaching of the gospel. And the gospel was being preached that morning. It is God's primary way of bringing lost sinners to Christ in regeneration and faith. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And then down in verse 18, he says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Indeed, what we were preaching on Monday, was it this past Monday? We were down in Montgomery. Yes, we were preaching up there in front of the State Supreme Court building. And it was absolute foolishness to that handful of protesters. What was being preached made no sense to them. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Praise His name. Well, our text here has four references to hearing. It's not very clear in the English, but notice verse 16, the word obeyed is actually, from those of you that know Greek, it is a part of that word is akouo, which means I hear. And it actually means they have not heard. Okay, they have not all obeyed. They have not heard under is the actual word. And what is the idea? They have not heard under the awesome, regenerating, effectual power of the Holy Spirit while they were hearing. So that's the first reference to hearing there. There's also three more in these two verses. In the verse 16, you have the word report. Who hath believed our report? That word also comes from that same Greek word, akouo, meaning I hear. And it has the meaning of that which is heard. And then verse 17, of course you see there, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is literally, true faith comes out of hearing. Ex, out of hearing. And then hearing by, literally through the word of God, this salvation comes. But you know, not all hearing results in saving faith. We see the same thing with Christ preaching in Matthew's Gospel chapter 13. That's a very important chapter. You may know some chapter content of the Bible. And you know 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. Well, Matthew chapter 13 is the parable chapter. Jesus spoke in parables. And here it's very interesting. We find out in the parable of the sower that the Lord speaks of hearing four times. Just like in our text today, hearing comes up four times. There is the hearing, the four soil represented, the seed falling on the four types of soil representing the four types of hearers, those that hear the word of God. One by the wayside heareth the word, verse 19 says. And then in verse 20, the stony ground hearer heareth the word. And then the seed received among thorns is he that heareth the word. And that is, finally, in verse 22, the seed on the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth and beareth fruit to eternal life. So you notice that even with our Lord Jesus Christ, only a small percentage of the hearers heard to the saving of the soul. Again, Christ quoted Isaiah right there in Matthew chapter 13. He quotes from Isaiah in the same portion. Matthew 13, verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Now, this is most interesting because Christ is explaining to his disciples why he used parables. That is a very shocking reality. Why did Christ speak in parables? Let us hear the words from Christ's own mouth. You know, most teachers would use stories or illustrations to help people get the point or the meaning of the lesson. I use that historical instance at the beginning to hopefully get your attention where you won't sleep the rest of the morning, or for a few minutes where hopefully you'll hear the rest. Well, Christ used parables for a very different reason. If you notice, Matthew chapter 13 in verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Listen carefully. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Now this is very important. Christ spoke in parables so that only his elect people would get it, would get the meaning. If you remember what he said back two chapters earlier in Matthew chapter 11, he says the same kind of thing in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast shown every person that ever walked or breathed on the earth the glorious gospel. No, he doesn't say that, does he? What does he say? I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. Now, isn't that amazing? Jesus is saying the same kind of thing. He said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, a verse I will never forget, because when I was a student with my brother Bob years ago, somebody pointed this out to me, and I said, man, I better start listening carefully. This is no easy thing just to sit in church. When we lived in Northern Ireland, you never knew when someone might break into the assembly and start shooting people. We are coming to that time in America. We've been studying the Puritans, and I remember one of those old paintings from New England. You see them going in the snow to church. And they're carrying their muskets with them. Now, this is a very important matter. Because when you go to church and you got your muskets with you, that may help you to listen a little more carefully. To realize it is a life and death matter. Now, Luke's Gospel chapter 8 and verse 18. Jesus said again, take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. What a very potent way to get us to take notes. But you know, it's not just sitting and hearing sermons every week for all your life. Multitudes do that are lost forever. But it's to take heed how you hear and to pray and ask God not only to give you understanding, but also to give you faith in Christ alone as your Savior. As you hear the Word, may the Word be a saving Word even this day. Well, having looked at the rejection of preaching and the reception of preaching, we turn finally to the results of preaching. And by this I mean the best results of preaching, the saving results of preaching. How can you know that you have heard to the saving of your soul. Well, there's one very obvious in the text that is quite clear. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now that one is quite clear in the writings of the apostle in Romans. In Romans chapter 1, the apostle said that he was sent forth as an apostle preaching for obedience to the faith. Romans chapter 1 verse 5. He says of those who have been converted, Romans chapter 6 verse 17, he says, ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You have received, even that meaning is that outline of sound biblical doctrine which was delivered you. You've obeyed from the heart. And then here in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Well, how do you obey the gospel? It's very clear in verse 13. But it's also very clear when the jailer cried out to Paul in Philippi, what must I do to be saved? And what did he say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's how you obey the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I tell you, when the Lord saves, He gives the believer a heart that endeavors to obey. Now, not one of us is going to stand here or sit here and lie to you today and tell you that we perfectly obey. How many of us would like to perfectly obey? I'll put both hands up. I would like to perfectly obey, but I obey imperfectly, but I do endeavor to obey. If you have any desire to obey the Lord, such a desire did not come from your depraved human nature. This desire to obey Him helps us assure our hearts that we are indeed true believers. But not only obedience, the matter of love, which we've hammered so much on lately. And I really wanted to lay out before the sodomites on Monday that love is the matter. Real love, not L-U-V, but biblical, L-O-V-E. Do you really love Christ? Do you love the Father for giving His Son to live and to die for you? Do you love the Holy Spirit for giving you spiritual life in regeneration, for enabling you to trust in Christ's blood and righteousness? Do you love the Holy Spirit for indwelling you and showing you more of the truth in the Holy Scripture? Love motivates obedience. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. These are from John chapter 14. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. So it's not only love and obedience that shows the good results of the preaching of the gospel. Finally, those who have heard to the saving of the soul have joy. We can sit with frowns on our faces. We can go about the world to win for Christ all of the population of the earth by having long faces, look like we just swallowed a persimmon. My little granddaughter can look at me with some of the meanest stares, and she's only a few months old, but if we truly know the Lord, that is a source of joy, not only of love and obedience, but there's joy. We have real joy. When the Samaritans came to Christ through Philip's preaching in Acts chapter 8, the Scripture says, great joy came to their city. Acts chapter 8, verse 8. When the 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost, they received the word with frowns and sadness on their face. No, they received the word gladly. And when the Ethiopian eunuch was converted in Acts 8:39, he went on his way with his chin bumping his kneecaps. No, he went on his way with rejoicing. And even suffering saints know something of joy unspeakable. 1 Peter 1:8. Now, when we remember God's eternal love that chose us to salvation, the Word and the Spirit that showed us our sin, our ruin, and opened our eyes to Christ's atonement, we rejoice. We are glad we are justified. We are thankful that we are forgiven. We rejoice in God's grace that teaches us more and more of assurance. What a blessing it is. We are thankful that the Lord has opened our ears and opened our heart to hear and to believe the gospel of Christ and to receive the Lord Himself. And like the Countess of Orkney, we ourselves rejoice in the fact that our children can hear and believe on Christ. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the reality of hearing with the heart, with the understanding, with the affections, that we don't just let the words of eternal truth go in one ear and out the other. And Lord, we praise Thee for the work of the Holy Spirit when that occasion came to hear and our soul lived. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy truth to our hearts. Help us to remember, especially to remember Thee and all Thou hast done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.